If you'll please take your Bibles and turn at this time to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 6 through 9, and that's on page 1169 in your pew Bibles. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 6 through 9. Today we're beginning our new series. It's called Christian Home Fixer Upper. How many of you have ever seen the television show Fixer Upper? I see a number of you have. It's a show, a nice Christian couple. They go out and they fix people's homes up for them, and they take what was not so nice a home, and when they're done, it is beautiful. Well, that's what we want to talk about in this series. There are a few things in life as important as our homes, and I'm not talking here about the physical structures in which we live, but rather our families and the relationships within our homes. The family is the basic foundation of society. It is the first institution that God put into place after creation. And so over the next number of weeks, we're going to be exploring together what does God teach us in the Bible about marriage and family, about couples and singles, husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, children and parents. Every family is different. Every mom and dad are different. We come from different backgrounds. We have different personalities. We practice different styles of parenting. And there really is no one right way to go about it. Rosie and I first learned this when we became parents. We read a lot of books, we talked with a lot of people, we learned a lot of good information and gained a lot of helpful tips, but it was also frustrating at times because not all the authors agreed, and even good Christian authors would sometimes offer conflicting or even contradictory advice. And so many things vary from family to family, and that's okay. But at the same time, God's Word reveals certain principles, and these principles apply to every family without exception. And so that's what we're going to be looking at throughout this series. We're going to be looking at those rock-solid principles in God's Word that we need to apply to each of our lives, which we dare not ignore or reject. So today's Mother's Day, and we're going to begin our series by looking at motherhood together. So we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. Please stand together for the reading of God's Word. The Apostle Paul writes, "As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear God, take these words now, these words which teach us such important truths about mothering and motherhood. Encourage us by them. Help us with them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. This whole chapter in 1 Thessalonians is very interesting because in this chapter we find really a divinely inspired description of both a godly mother's essential qualities and then also a godly father's essential qualities. And verses 6 through 9 describe mom. And then verses 10 through 12 describe dad. And Paul shares these descriptions with us by way of analogy. He's actually sharing how he and his co-workers ministered among the Thessalonians. But as he shares about his ministry with them, he makes some direct comparisons to the qualities of godly moms and godly dads. And so here we find in God's Word a concise description, a divine blueprint, as it were, of what mothering and fathering is all about. So today's Mother's Day, we're going to look at the description of moms. On Father's Day, we'll look at the description from verses 10 through 12 about dads. We're going to be doing this whole series on Christian home and family between now and Father's Day. We might even stretch a little bit beyond Father's Day. There's an outline in your bulletin which has an outline of today's sermon, but on the back there's sort of like a little press release talking about the series and what it's all about. And the purpose of that press release is for you to take this sheet of paper and to hand this to somebody this week and say, hey, our church is talking about a home and family over the next number of weeks, and I'd like to invite you to come. So I'd encourage you to do that. You can pick up some more of these on the way out. If you took notes on this side, you might want to not give this one away, but there are extras out there. So grab one of these and hand this out. It's a great way to invite someone to church. So today we're looking at the qualities of Christian moms, and it's not the whole story. There's lots that the Bible talks about when it comes to Christian moms, but here we're given three essential qualities that every mother should emulate in her own life. Let me give you all three right up front. Number one, a godly mother is gentle with her children, not a burden to them. Number two, a godly mother shares the gospel as well as her life with her children. And then number three, a godly mother works hard to fulfill her role. We find all of these in our text this morning. It's a divine trilogy of essential mother qualities. Let's take a look at each one in turn. First of all, a godly mother is gentle with her children, not a burden to them. Look at verses 6 and 7 with me. Paul says, as apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. In effect, Paul is saying this. He's saying, hey, we're apostles. We were commissioned by Christ and the church. Thessalonians, we could have come in pushing our authority, pressing our credentials, throwing our weight around. We could have asked you, demanded you to support us as we preached the gospel to you. But instead, we did something different. We didn't use our authority to weigh you down. Rather, we used our authority to serve you in love. And moms, let me remind you this morning that you also have authority in your children's lives. And the question is, are you using your authority to weigh your children down, or are you using it to build them up? And Paul said to the Thessalonians, we could have been a burden to you, but instead we chose to be gentle with you, like a mother caring for her little children. The word mother there is the word actually for a nursing mother, a mother feeding and caring for the child at her breast. And that word caring literally means to warm or to keep warm, to cherish with tender love. And so what Paul is doing here is he's painting a picture of a nursing mother gently caring for her infant child. And Paul says, that's what we were like. We weren't a burden, but we were gentle like mothers. So how should a mother be gentle with her children? Well, let me share with you three things from the Word of God this morning. First of all, she should use gentle words. Gentle words. The Bible tells us, Proverbs 18:21, that the tongue has the power of life and death. And so, moms, you need to know that your words will shape and mold your child for life. As children, we tend to see ourselves through our parents' eyes. And so, moms, every word that you speak, whether gentle or harsh, whether kind or unkind, those words are helping to shape your child's self-understanding. And therefore, we should use gentle words with our children. Be careful not to argue with your children. Kids love to argue, don't they? They love to argue with each other. They especially love to draw mom and dad into the argument with them, don't they? But it takes two persons to argue, and if you won't play, guess what? The game is over. It's not going to happen. 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 and 25 says this, the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. And those oppose him, he must do what? Gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance. Now, those words were originally written to pastors, but they're appropriate. They apply also to moms and dads, don't they? To all of us, to use gentle words. Moms, in many ways, you are the thermostat for your home. I want you to think for a moment about the difference between a thermostat and a thermometer. A thermometer reacts to the temperature, doesn't it? If it gets hot, the thermometer gets hot. If it gets cold, the thermometer gets cold. Whereas a thermostat controls the temperature. And moms, you have the ability to control the temperature in your home. Proverbs 15:1 says this, that a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And a mother's gentleness can transform the entire atmosphere of the home. What a wonderful and beautiful thing that is. And that's why Peter wrote to wives in 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. He said, your beauty should not come from outward adornments, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. You see, you can be a thermostat controlling the emotional environment of your home instead of reacting to the scattered emotions of your children. And how do you do this? By using gentle words in the home. A second way that moms can be gentle is to exercise loving but firm discipline. In other words, a gentle mom is not a pushover. She doesn't let her children do whatever they want, whenever they want, whether it's good for them or not. She does not allow her children to treat her with disrespect, but she exercises firm but loving discipline, knowing what the scriptures say. Proverbs 13:24, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Proverbs 6:23 says that the corrections of discipline are the way to life. Proverbs 29:17 says, discipline your son and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. And so a gentle mom is gentle, but she does not neglect the God-given responsibility to discipline her children. Now, that discipline may even be severe, depending on the type of correction the child may need. And so the gentle mom is firm and consistent, but she is also loving and kind. The discipline is never violent or out of control, but rather it is measured, controlled, and appropriate to the offense. And at all times, her manner is gentle. She reaffirms the child, and she reaffirms her love for the child. You see, you don't need to be angry in order to discipline. In fact, it's far better if you're not. You're not supposed to be angry when you discipline. Discipline administered in a gentle manner will be far more effective. Proverbs 25:15 says this, that through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. And so the gentle mom, she's neither a wimp nor an abuser, but she exercises loving but firm discipline in the home, which has a godly influence on her child. The gentle mom uses gentle words. She exercises loving and firm discipline. And thirdly, she carries her children's burdens. That's what Paul said to the Thessalonians once again as he's talking about being like mothers to them. He said, we could have been a burden to you. And then he sets up the contrast. He says, but instead, we were gentle among you. See, a mother is not supposed to be a burden to her children. But guess what? Your children are supposed to be a burden to you. Did you ever notice that? And part of your job as a mom is to help carry your children's burdens. Part of your wisdom as a mother is to know what to carry and when. And so a gentle mother will carry burdens for her children according to their age and ability. You know, we start off carrying all the burdens for our children. We feed them, we dress them, we change them. They can't even turn over without our help, right? But then gradually we give our children more and more responsibilities as they grow older. And then we let them start carrying burdens appropriate to their age and ability. One day they will leave our home as adults, right? And then they will carry their own burdens and their children's burdens. But a huge part of mothering is simply carrying burdens for your children. That's part of being gentle, according to our scripture. Moms, as you do this, don't forget that although you're to carry your children's burdens, that does not mean that you are supposed to carry them alone. And a lot of moms feel alone a lot of the time. Scripture says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And so dads, you need to help carry the load too. Moms, you need to talk with other moms. You'll find that as you talk with them, they're going through the same things you are. And so, you know, you can help each other and pray for each other and support each other. And then most important of all, don't forget to take all those burdens that you're carrying for your kids, all of those burdens, what do? You bring them to the Lord, right? 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. I love Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. In other words, don't be holding on to all those burdens yourselves, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so you take those burdens and those worries, and you lay them at the foot of the cross, and you lay your burden down. Jesus said in Matthew 11, he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened," and that certainly includes mothers. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is a gentle shepherd, and he asks us as moms, he says, "Moms, use gentle words. Exercise loving and firm discipline. Carry your children's burdens for them." It's all part of being gentle. I believe that moms in general are naturally more gentle with their children than us dads are. That's part of the balance of mothering and fathering that God built into the family and into the home. I remember when our boys were young, I wrestled with them, you know, and we had fun like that. And Rosie, she did crafts with them, right? And then, Rosie carried the boys in her arms, and I threw them up in the air. You know, I always caught them, right? But I threw them up in the air when we first put them in the pool. You know, Rosie strapped flotation devices all over them, you know? You know, and then I get into the pool with them and pull off all the devices and dunk them under the water, because that's just the way us dads are. You know, we like to roughhouse. Rosie never really roughhoused with the boys. She was too busy trying to protect the house from the boys and from me, too. So even though gentleness probably comes more naturally to moms than to dads, you know what? A lot of moms still struggle with this area. And if that's you this morning, you might be thinking, "Well, I'm not like that. I'm not gentle with my kids. I wish I were, but I'm not." And if you're telling me that the Bible says that a godly mother is gentle with her kids, then I must be a lousy mother. Well, let me address that for you. First of all, yes, the Bible does say that being gentle is part of what mothering is all about. It's part of the divine blueprint. But if you struggle with gentleness, it does not mean that you're a lousy mother. All it means is this, is that you need to grow in this particular area. And the good news is that God can help you with that. It's interesting, if we go back to verse 7 in our text, when Paul says, "We were gentle among you," a more accurate translation would be this: "We became gentle among you." Or you could even translate it this way: "We were made gentle among you." In other words, this gentleness that Paul experienced with the Thessalonians, that wasn't natural to him either. He struggled with it. And there was a change that had to take place, and that change takes place through the Holy Spirit. Remember, gentleness is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so if this is a struggle for you, talk to God about that. And ask God to help you in this area. Ask Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit and to bear the fruit of gentleness in your life. And I guarantee you, you will be a better mother for it. So that's our first quality of a godly mother this morning. A godly mother is gentle with her children, not a burden to them. The second quality of a godly mother is this: a godly mother shares the gospel as well as her life with her children. We see this in verse 8. Paul is still talking about being like mothers, and he said, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you'd become so dear to us." Now, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they had come to the Thessalonians primarily to preach the gospel to them. But when they got there, they loved them so much that they shared their lives with them as well. And Paul says, "We were delighted to do that. It was not some unpleasant task or duty or obligation, but it was a delight to them." And a godly mother also shares both gospel and life with her children, and it's her joy to do that. So how do you fulfill this essential quality of motherhood? First of all, delight to share your life with your child. And let me just give you a couple things to keep in mind here. First of all, the kids are not young for long, so enjoy them. You can talk to any parent of grown children, and they will all tell you that the years went by far too fast. Your children won't stay young forever, so enjoy these years. Be there for them. Be available to them. Don't begrudge the time that you spend driving them and going to their activities and reading to them and teaching them and working on those crafts with them. These are wonderful years. And so invest your best time and energy in your children. You will have plenty of time later to pursue other interests after your children are grown and gone. And then secondly, under this heading, your children need your nurture and care. No one can replace your role as a mother. And your children need you to share your life with them, to give of your life freely in raising them, nurturing them, and teaching them. So moms, I would encourage each one of you to look at your schedules and the various obligations that you've taken on, and to look at that with respect to the time that you are investing in your children. And then I encourage you simply to pray about that and to ask God if you need to make any changes in your schedule in order to give more time to your kids. Think about your life. Think about the life of your children. Think about your priorities, and then just pray about it. Expecting mothers or mothers of young children, I would ask you especially to pray about these things. I love these words of wisdom which were spoken by Barbara Bush. This was back in 1990 when they were in the White House, and this was her commencement address to Wellesley College graduates. And she said this: at the end of your life, you will never regret not having passed one more test, not winning one more verdict, or not closing one more deal, but you will regret time not spent with a husband, a friend, a child, or a parent. Fathers and mothers, if you have children, they must come first. You must read to your children, you must hug your children, you must love your children. Your success as a family, our success as a society, depends not on what happens at the White House, but on what happens inside your house. A godly mother delights to share her life with her children. But then she goes beyond that, and she also shares the gospel with her children. And how do you do that? Well, let me share with you three things that you must do in order to share the gospel effectively with your children. First of all, you must read them God's word. In fact, this is the most important thing you can do to pass your faith onto your children. Paul wrote this to Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy. He said, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Timothy was a man of faith. Well, how did that happen? Well, it was passed generation to generations. It started with his grandmother, and then went to his mother, and then it went to Timothy. How wonderful is that, to see the faith being passed on from one generation to the next? You might wonder, it's like, how did they do that? How did they keep that going? Well, Paul gives us the answer in the very next chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, actually two chapters from there. 2 Timothy 3 said, "How from infancy, Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." You see, it's God's word that makes us wise for salvation. And Timothy had the blessing of hearing God's word read to him from the time that he was an infant. And so read the Bible with your children. Teach them God's word. Memorize Bible verses with them. It's never too early to start. Maybe they can't even hear or can't even understand the words yet. They're just infants. But begin. It's never too early to start. And guess what? It's also never too late to begin. And so if you haven't been doing this, you can start today. Secondly, bring them to church. Don't send them to church. Bring them. Participate with your children in the community of faith. Be consistent. Make Sunday worship a non-negotiable in your family life. And then be sure that your kids are in Sunday school every week. Think about it. Your children have 30 hours of school each week, influencing them, impacting them. They probably have another 30 hours of television and video games influencing them, impacting them. Don't let them miss out on the 1 hour of Christian instruction from their church, which is available to them each week. So read them God's word, bring them to church. Thirdly, set the example. Because all of our words and all of our teaching and instruction mean nothing to our kids if we don't live it out ourselves. Set the example at home. Living for Christ is a 7-day-a-week, 24-hour-a-day endeavor. So don't just act like a Christian on Sunday mornings. Be a Christian all week long. And then set the example at church. Once again, don't just send your kids to Sunday school, but be involved in Sunday school yourself. Don't come to church simply to get, but get involved and find a place to serve in the church. How can we expect our kids to understand the importance of church and worship and Christian education and service if we are not involved in those things ourselves? And I'm talking to both the moms and the dads here. If you want your children to grow in the faith, you need to lead the way. If you want your children to grow in their faith, then you need to grow in your faith. It's really very simple. So moms, make it a priority to share the gospel with your children. Read the Bible to them, bring them to church, set the example in your own life, and then you will really be ready to share with them about how they can trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, how Jesus died for them on the cross, how they can be forgiven of their sins, and how they can become a part of God's forever family and live with God forever in heaven. What a wonderful privilege you have as Christian parents. Paul said to the Thessalonians, "We were delighted. We were overjoyed to share with you both the gospel and our lives." So a godly mother is gentle with her children, not a burden to them. Number two, a godly mother shares the gospel as well as her life with her children. And then number three, and finally, a godly mother works hard to fulfill her role. Look at verse 9 now. As Paul's continuing to talk about treating them as mothers, he said, "Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you." Paul says it again in his second letter to the Thessalonians. "We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you." Now, Paul and his friends could have been a burden to the Thessalonians, but instead, they chose to be like a mother. They were gentle, sharing, hardworking. And a godly mother works hard to fulfill her role. Did you notice the two words Paul used to describe his work among the Thessalonians? Toil and hardship. Toil and hardship. And mothering is very rewarding, but these words also apply, don't they? Toil and hardship. Let me define those terms for you as it's found in the lexicons. That word toil is defined as exhausting labor, trouble, sorrow, weariness, hard work, wearying toil involving sweat and fatigue, the weariness which follows the straining of all one's powers to the uttermost. And the moms are saying, that's a pretty good description of what I do every day, right? It's just, in the Luke 11:7, the same word is translated bother. And you know what? Mothers are often bothered. It comes with the territory. Children make so many demands on your time, on your physical strength, on your emotional energy, and mothers need to work hard to meet those many necessary demands. And so mothering is tiring work. Do we have any tired moms out there today? We've probably got some tired moms. Dads, if you want to know how tiring mothering is, got a little experiment for you to try. Okay? Send your wife on a little vacation all by herself. Get a little hotel by the beach. Set her up. And then that morning, you get up and you do everything. You take care of the kids and you get them off to school or at whatever ages they're at. You take everything from morning till night. And by the time everybody's in bed and you finally get to go to bed, you will be exhausted. You will be exhausted. I know from personal experience when Rosie's gone away and I've taken on her jobs, and I go, "You got to be kidding me." And mothers do that every day of the year, even on vacation. It's always more of a vacation for me than for Rosie. Why? Because she always continued to do her job of mothering, even when we were on vacation. It is tiring work. It's not only tiring work, it is difficult work. And that's what that second word means, hardship. It means hard and difficult labor, toil, travail, hardship, distress, and pain. It means that your work involves difficult obstacles to overcome. Some mothering is tiring work, and it is hard work. Let's get this straight right now. There's no such thing as working mothers and non-working mothers, because every mother is a working mother. It is part of the job description. And I heard an amen. Thank you. And it never seems to end. Did you see what Paul wrote? He said, "We worked night and day." Doesn't that sound like mothering? It is unending work. It is a 24-hour-a-day occupation. Let me give you an example, a snippet from our past when our kids were younger. Long day, kids are all in bed. Rosie and I finally get a chance to relax, maybe read a book, watch a little TV. Finally, we crawl into bed. We're dead tired. We're ready for sleep. Good night, Rosie. Good night, Ray. I love you. Love you too, honey. And I tell you, when my head hits the pillow, I'm gone, you know. Yeah, I find it very easy to fall asleep. So I'm drifting off, and all of a sudden, a voice breaks the silence. A mother's voice. "Ray? Yeah? I'm concerned about Timmy." "Why?" "Well, he had a little cough when he went to bed. Do you think he's okay?" "He's fine." I go back to sleep. Suddenly the voice speaks again. "Ray? Yeah? Sammy has a spelling test tomorrow." "Good. Good for Sammy. Good night." "Well, did you go over the words with him? Remember you said you were going to go over the words with him? Did you remember?" "No, I forgot, but I'll do it in the morning." "Do you think he'll do okay?" "He's fine." "Good night, honey." Back to sleep. Suddenly the bed's creaking. I notice Rosie's getting out of bed. "He's like, where are you going?" "Oh, I just wanted to check on Tim. I think I left the ceiling fan on in his room. And it's kind of a cold night. Do you think he might be too cold?" "He's fine." She comes back a few minutes later. "Okay, there, I turned off the ceiling fan." "Good, good." Finally, I get to go to sleep. And then the voice. "Do you think he might be too hot now?" "He's fine!" You see, moms never stop mothering. It's day in, day out, all night long. A man may work from sun to sun, but a mother's work is never done. So moms, I don't want you to feel bad if you feel tired a lot. It doesn't mean that you're doing it wrong. It means that you're doing it right. A mother works hard to fulfill her role. Mothering is perhaps the most challenging and yet also rewarding job in the whole world. And you could read thousands of books on the subject, but I still believe some of the best instruction you'll ever find is right here, just in these few verses we've looked at today in 1 Thessalonians. A godly mother is gentle with her children, not a burden. And so our applications there are: use gentle words, exercise loving but firm discipline, carry your children's burdens as appropriate to their age and ability. Number two, a godly mother shares the gospel as well as her life with her children. So our applications there are: delight to share your life with your kids, enjoy the time you've been given to raise them, nurture them and care for them, share the gospel with them, read God's word to them, bring them to church, set the example. And finally, number three, a godly mother works hard to fulfill her role. It is tiring work. It is difficult work. It is an unending work, and yet it is also a good work. And so let me encourage you to keep at it. You have been commissioned by God, and He is standing by to help you to be the best mother you can possibly be. And so, moms, we honor you this morning for all of your work. You are either raising or have raised a generation of children to live in this world and to bring glory to God. And nothing could be more important than that. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for this wonderful description of motherhood that we find in your word this morning. And Lord, I pray for our moms today, Lord. Such a wonderful, wonderful job, and yet it is challenging. It is difficult, and I pray that you would encourage each one here today. Lord, I pray that you'll be with us as we work our way through this series on fixing up our Christian homes and shoring up those things that need shoring up. Lord, we want to have beautiful homes that reflect your love and your glory and that bring honor to Jesus Christ. So help us with our Christian home fixer-uppers. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.